Now, we're mostly going to look at Psalm 30 from the Old Testament today. So I wonder if I could ask you to try and find a pew Bible and to turn to it. It's on page 558. So Psalm 30, page 558. And you may or may not find the little bit of paper helpful. I'm hoping that you'll take it away with you as a souvenir, and it could give you a whole week worth of Bible study, even if you can't manage to read and follow it all now. The other day, I was so enthusiastic to preach my sermon that I didn't actually allow the reading to happen, which is not what they recommend at Vicar Factory. So I'm going to try and get to the reading today, but I thought it might just be worth making a few comments about this psalm first and having a little look at it with you. Now, if you read in church, you'll know that normally we never read out the headings that the editors have put into our English Bibles, because they're not part of the original thing. We don't want them read out. Please don't read them. Okay? But in the Psalms, we do want the headings read out because they seem to be original. Okay? So you've got to keep your wits about you. So here's the heading, a little introduction to the psalm. A psalm, a song. Okay. And then if you look at the end, it says, of David. So who knows who David was? David? Anybody heard of any Davids in the Bible? King David, exactly, of Goliath-killing fame. Maybe one of the greatest kings of the Old Testament, King David. And when we think about King David in the Psalms, we might also think about Jesus, of course, because Jesus is great King David's greater son, the son of David, the descendant of David, who was born in the city of David. He would be the anointed one, the Messiah, the long-promised rescuer king. Jesus would have said and sung these psalms. So when we think about this psalm, we might think about the life of David. We might also think about the life of Jesus and whether there's a kind of echo there. So of David, it might mean by or for or about or after David or something, but it may well be written by David. The New Testament certainly takes some of the psalms of David as written by David. So anyway, of David. And then it says, for the dedication of the temple. You've probably got in your naughty Bibles. I don't know why they do this, these people. Like, it doesn't say that. It says, for the dedication of the house. Okay? So I don't know if you ever dedicated your house. Maybe not. I haven't. David's house. So what would David's house have been? Royal palace, maybe. So it could be for the dedication of the palace. Or it could be for the dedication of the temple, but the Bible boffins, of course, will know that David never actually built the temple, did he? He wanted to, but God said to him, well, you're a man of blood, you can't build the temple. Your son Solomon is going to have to build the temple. And Solomon did, David did get ready some of the stuff for building the temple. So maybe David left this psalm in his will for the dedication of the temple. I don't know. It's pretty weird. I don't know if you've ever written a prayer for dedicating your house or for a temple. Probably not. But I wouldn't have written this. It's not very housey or temple-y or palace-y or whatever. So if maybe we'll come back to that. But you can tell me over coffee why this is the ideal psalm for the dedication of the temple, if you like. But we'll see something of David's experience in the psalm. Perhaps we'll think about Jesus' experience too. And you might like to think as we read this psalm, well, I wonder if I've ever experienced anything a little bit like this, or if I did, what would I do? Might I react as the psalmist did? So keep that psalm open. Use the handy souvenir bit of paper as a bookmark. But let's have the actual reading now, which Freddie is finally going to do for us. Thank you. I meant to say that it's a kind of praise sandwich, if you look at it. So you get praise in verse 1 and praise also in verse 12. Verse 1, I will exalt you, O Lord. Verse 12, I will give thanks forever, okay? So it's a praise sandwich. And you also get the repetition of joy. So that gloating in verse 1, he thinks his enemies might gloat over him, is the same word as the joy in verse 11, okay? You've removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. And then verse 4, he tells us all to praise God. So David is praising God. And then he says, well, all of you saints praise God. Did you know that if you're a Christian believer, you are a saint? Congratulations. So he says, all of you saints praise God with me because of who God is and what he's done. And maybe particularly because of what he's done for David. And you can understand that if David is the king, isn't it? Can't you? If David is saved and delivered and David the king wins a great victory, it makes sense that the people of God would share in that victory. And of course that's true of Jesus too. If Jesus is saved and delivered, it makes sense that Jesus' people are saved and delivered too. Right, I'll let you actually read it now, Freddie. Sorry.
Psalm 30. A song for the dedication of the temple of David. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction? In my going down into the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim me your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Well, you might like to look again at the Psalm, page 558, Psalm 30. Have you ever experienced anything a bit like that? I think Jesus did. The psalmist, he was distressed and dismayed, wasn't he? He was down in the depths, verse 1. There were those enemies he was worried about. He needed healing, so perhaps he was ill or seems to have been facing death, having this near-death experience, brought down to the grave, he says, in danger of going down to the pit, perhaps even experiencing a sense of God's anger in verse 5. What had caused it all? Well, it's not really very easy to say, is it? Verse 6, I felt secure. I said, I shall never be shaken. Fantastic, everything's good. The sun is shining. I got my lovely house in Sussex and the mortgage is paid off and my pension is brilliant. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm. And when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Did God really hide his face, or did David just feel that God hid his face? For some reason, he was dismayed. Maybe David has got a bit big-headed, a bit self-reliant. Oh, I've won all these victories. God loves me. I'm a fantastic Christian. I'm secure. Lord, you've favoured me. We've got Mount Zion. We're doing fantastic. maybe forgot God, didn't trust God, trusted himself. And God said, well, see how you get on without me. And he was dismayed. Or maybe think of the Lord Jesus on the cross, facing that moment of God's anger for the sin of the world. Remember, Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He could have said, why have you hidden your face from me? No, it's because Jesus was bearing the sins of the world. Sometimes there are tears in the Christian life, aren't there? There are hard things. There's real suffering. Sometimes suffering that God doesn't take away in this life. God hasn't promised us necessarily health and happiness and ease. But this is a psalm about deliverance and rescue, about healing and triumph over enemies. Could be our Bible study this week to think of all the contrasts in this psalm, how it goes from wailing to dancing, from silence to song. But suffering, it comes for a guest who just stays for an evening. But in the morning, there's rejoicing. You might think of Good Friday, and that Saturday when Jesus was in the tomb, and Jesus' disciples were fearful and crying. And then Easter Sunday morning came. And God would say to us, well, the great final day of resurrection is coming. The new creation is coming. There might be weeping for a moment, but salvation is coming. Or think of Paul, who could write from prison about our light and momentary troubles that are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Weeping for a moment. Resurrection forever. And it kind of bursts out of the life of David, doesn't it? The end of the psalm. Oh Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. It's eternal praise. It's praise even beyond the grave. Now I need a volunteer who is relatively small. Would you like to come and volunteer? Are you feeling brave? There's some dressing up. Is that okay? Fantastic. You can bring a friend if you like. Now, in normal life, you should never put a bag over your head, because it can... Ooh, less... Okay. Let's not do that then. anybody else? Thomas? Thank you. Great. So, in real life, you should never put a bag over your head, but Thomas, you know, we've got four, so... right. And I have made armholes. Careful. Here's an armhole. Can you get your arm through there? Yeah. Just here. Perfect. I might become a tailor if the shoeing doesn't work out. So, sorry. Let me just get my microphone back. So, what is this? Well, it is a plastic bin bag, Jeremy, thank you, prosaically. But if we'd read our psalm and had an imagination, it is sackcloth, of course. We're a bit short of sackcloth at the rectory. Apparently, sackcloth might have been the ordinary working clothes of people, but it, in the Bible, it's associated with like mourning and sorrow, isn't it? Sackcloth and ashes, sort of bad stuff. I think your mother wants to see you come down here. So, sackcloth. And it says in the psalm, you have changed my sackcloth. Someone find it for us, have you? Okay, you have taken away, what does the whole verse say, Jeremy? Oh, don't worry, I'll... Something about chat. You've removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Has anybody got any joy? We could imagine Annie at her wedding, or I don't know whether the Bowens will be putting on their party frock. If you were a lady, Thomas, maybe it would be a gold sequin dress or something. But here, let us clothe you with joy, a dinner jacket which once fitted me. That's really good with your hoodie. I will clothe you with joy. It's a resurrection transformation from sadness and suffering to glory and joy and rejoicing. A round of applause for Thomas. Thank you very much. Oh, you can keep it. As I say, it doesn't fit me. So it's a psalm about God's salvation and rescue, but ultimately a psalm about resurrection and the new creation. There's much more we could say about it, but how are we going to respond to all these things? Well, the psalmist wants us to respond like he did eventually, by coming to our senses, realizing our need of God, crying out to him for help and mercy, to respond, if you like, alliteration to Eiffel Art, with dependence, trust on God, dedication, commitment to live to him, and delight, praising God, rejoicing. Dependence, dedication, and delight. That's the kind of argument there in verse 9, isn't it? O Lord, what gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Lord, if I die, I'm not going to be a Christian who works with integrity and makes the world better and witnesses to my colleagues, am I? If I die, I can't leave my home group or help with toddlers or ... whatever our Christian service looks like. So the implication is, well, Lord, if you let me live, I'm going to try and live for your praise and glory and fame. I'm going to invite my friends to the comedy evening, even if it's slightly embarrassing, because I'm living for you, not for myself, Lord. And maybe ultimately it does point us to Jesus, the new and living temple. Remember, Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will build it again in 3 days. They said to him, you what? It's taken ages to build the temple. You might be a carpenter, but you're not going to build a temple in 3 days, are you? But the temple he spoke of was his body. God, the Holy Spirit, lived in Jesus. Jesus died and rose again. He's the new temple. And the good news is that what happens to Jesus, the head, also happens to us, his body, the church. Where Jesus goes, we will go. It's like a needle and a thread. Ideally, the thread follows the needle, doesn't it? Jesus is risen. We are risen, spiritually speaking. One day these bodies will be laid in the ground and will rise again. Well, let's just be quiet for a moment and think about this psalm, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Our great Father God, whatever distress or trouble we face, we pray that we might look to you and your kindness. Save us, help us, rescue us, we pray. Help us to pin our hopes on Jesus, who died and rose for us, to look for that resurrection morning of the new creation, where you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Amen. Now, Jonathan is waving the Bible at me. He thinks we should have more Bible reading. So, Owen is going to come and read for us a passage I'm not going to say anything else about. You'll be relieved to hear. So here's some of the account of the praise of heaven for Jesus crucified and risen. When it talks about the Lamb, it's on about Jesus who died as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank you, Owen.
So this is Revelation chapter 5, starting on verse 11, and is on page 1237. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them, singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.